Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
We look around the world of sports right now, we can see a lot of rules that have been in place, a lot of things that have been structures for a long time and the way it affects what we watch. But should those structures still stand? Are some rules meant to be looked at, adjusted, forget being broken? Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr., Randy Scott, SportsCenter's very own, filling in for Janae Agumake today.
That's right. She's got other business.
She's got a lot of businesses, right, man. Right. Like it's a lot. Like it's the full, like, I'm not a businessman, I'm a businessman line for Janae Agumake that always feels very apt. But we appreciate Randy hanging out with us for a second day here. And we got a lot of stuff to get into. Reggie Bush and the Heisman are a conversation that is happening again. And we do this all the time. This is the first time we've seen what almost looks like a bit of an olive branch extended from one side to the other. We'll get to that here in a few minutes, but Randy, so much of today has been about what we've seen heading up to the Olympics this year. Sha'Carri Richardson, who is a track and field sprinter and athlete for the United States, who recently qualified for the Olympics, looked like she might be someone that could deliver the U.S. a gold medal in the 100 meters.
Yeah.
Now announced today that she will be accepting and serving a one-month suspension for a positive test for marijuana coming off of this. And she came out here and, to her undying credit, took full accountability for this, basically said, you know, I knew the choice I made, I knew what I did, and I still did it. She talked about finding out the news that her biological mother had passed from a reporter, and then said this was part of what she used to help calm herself down as she grieved, as she tried to cope with this. But it leaves her now suspended, that qualifier now eliminated, so she is not eligible to participate in that event. Still might be eligible when the suspension is up to compete in the 4x100 meter relay team. Different process to get to that. But Randy, we're at this point now where there seems to be a warring of opinions on this between the side that thinks this is a time to look at this rule surrounding, all right, should we be testing and suspending people for something like marijuana, versus she should just know to follow the rules. So it's tough to look at this, because I can truly look at this, and I know it sounds like a cop-out, and say that I can see room for both of these things to exist at once, although I don't know if that should be allowed. I feel like that's violating some sort of rule, apparently.
No, I don't think that's a cop-out. I don't think it's a sign of anything other than maturity, honestly. And maybe it's me just sort of understanding that I'm on that side as well. I occupy the center of that Venn diagram, because you can't, this isn't to me one of those issues where whoever screams the loudest on either side of the extreme is going to be the one to get the most attention. Not that people aren't trying on Twitter today. Been an interesting day in these social media streets, but there is nuance here, and she occupies it, because this isn't someone who was some sort of habitual line stepper with regard to rule flouting or drug problems. She's an electric superstar. She's not just a member of Team USA track and field, which in itself is so much of an accomplishment. It's so impressive because of the work that goes in. But she's a 21-year-old athlete on the edge of superstardom. I mean, she's a Nike athlete. She's electric. She's got a look. She's got a vibe, a flair, a swag, however you want to, you know, classify it. But she also is hurting, and she talked about it. These quotes from her are so mature in their own right and so nuanced. When she said, "Who are you?" She said, "Who are you? Who am I to tell you how to cope when you're dealing with a pain or you're dealing with a struggle that you've never experienced before or that you never thought you'd have to deal with?" And that's, she's shedding light on herself because of the death in her family that you mentioned. So she's chosen this way to cope with it, to get out of bed in the morning, to function, to be able to train, to be able to go about her life after the loss of her mom.
And again, she said, "I know what I did." This is a quote from her interview on the Today Show this morning. "I know what I did. I know what I'm supposed to do. I still made that decision." So she owned it. She owned every bit of it.
Yeah. Now, but this is in no way, this is a false equivalence, and this is just chalk it up to sleep deprivation or whatever it is. I'm just trying to think of workplace rules, okay? Because she was aware of the rule, and she knew what the consequences were. Like, they were very binary, right? If this, then that. There was no really room for interpretation. It wasn't like, "Hey, we know you tested positive for this, but we have the wiggle room and the subjectivity to be able to say, all right, we're going to slap on the wrist, don't do it again, we're going to double test you moving forward, and you can still go to Tokyo." There wasn't room for that. The rules didn't allow for it. So she knew what she was risking, and it sounds like that's a little bit of where you're at, right? Like, you understand the nuance of the fact that, like, it's a dumb rule, it's a stupid rule, whatever, however you want to classify it, but also, like, She knew it, right? And if others have to abide by it, then she does too?
I was going to say, and we do this at the combine every year. Like, we used to call it the idiot test, right? Like, if you managed to fail your drug test at the combine that you knew was coming, that you knew how to time for there, that was a part of that process here. But I think as we look around now, because when we had a lot of those conversations, so much time has passed. So much about our position on marijuana as a country, as a society, has changed through all this. Like, Randy, God love you, that we were talking about this before the show, and you said, listen, the herb is just not something that you partake in. But how you got to that point is incredible. But I think the story of why Randy Scott never tried marijuana is kind of indicative of what we're going through here now.
So for some folks, it may be repetitive. I've told this, I think, back on the Rosillo. I mean, it's probably going back to those days, but like, when I was 10, I think I was 10 years old, I got a sports physical. And you remember these where you're at the pediatrician's office, and it's for like basketball season. So you go in, they check you out, you come out, you read Highlights magazine, while your parent goes in and gets the debrief from the doctor. So riding in the car, I'm riding home with my mom, and my mom's like, hey, you know, how do you feel like it went with the doctor? I told her. She's like, okay, well, they said you have something called a heart murmur. Do you know what that is? I was like, no. And she goes, well, don't freak out. Literally, it's a very, very small hole in your heart. And what it means for you is you just have to listen to your body. If you ever feel dizzy, you're at risk of being dizzy on a basketball court if you overexert. So if you ever feel that, talk to your coach. I'll make sure he's aware. And just listen to your body. And I was like, okay. And she goes, now off the court, what it means is you have to make good choices. You know, we're going to maybe eat some better things. But also, you can't be around drugs. You can't do drugs, obviously, you're 10, but also you can't be around it because it will affect you more because your heart is in a different, you know, space or whatever than someone else. So that would be, and I was like, well, what would happen? You know, I'm 10, I'm like, what would happen? She goes, you die. You would die. And that would be a heck of a way for me to find out that my son is a pothead. So that's 10 years old and I'm driving home. Fear of God has been put into me. So fast forward 12 years, I'm getting off the parents' health plan. I'm 22. I'm getting kicked off. We're on TRICARE or Kaiser Permanente at that point. And I'm sitting down with a doctor I've never met before. And it's sort of an exit physical. And she's like, doing the stethoscope, sort of absentmindedly and looking away. And she goes, anything I should know? I was like, yeah, I've had a heart murmur since I was about 10. She goes, really? Kind of squints. Listen. She goes, well, if you do, I don't hear it. And sometimes they heal themselves over time. I'm just curious. Why do you feel like you had that? And I was like, well, my mom told me. And she goes, oh, your mom told you. And I was like, yeah. And I go, my mom told me, you know, I have to be careful with passing out on a basketball court and I can't, you know, do drugs, be around drugs because it could kill me. And this doctor had no poker face. She started laughing at the consultation. And she goes, your mom's a smart lady. And I was like, what? And I kind of leaned back. And then it was like every M. Night Shyamalan twist. It was like Memento. It was just, you know, Kaiser Soze walking at the end of Usual Suspect. No. It was just everything. All the tumblers fell into place. And I was like, what? And I called my mom on the way home. And I'm like, hey, I just got down to the doctor's. And she's like, oh, yeah, how'd that go? And I was like, well, my heart murmur's fixed. And she starts dying laughing. And she goes, is it? And I was like, mom, what the hell? And she goes, listen, I had to give you consequences. I read an article that said I couldn't just tell you not to do drugs. I had to give you a consequence. And I'm like, so you chose death as the consequence? And she goes, and she's just cackling. She's so tickled with herself. She goes, well, let me ask you. She goes, have you ever done drugs? And I was like, no. And she goes, are you about to try? And I was like, no. And she goes, I did my job. And I was like, so to this day, whether through lack of funds or lack of interest, like I haven't done drugs. I haven't done anything beyond Tylenol or anything prescribed after, you know, shredding ankle ligaments or whatever else. So I say that's the lack of experience I bring to this with Sha'Carri Richardson. But even I understand, because my mom later got sick, and for so many cancer patients, like, there are medicinal ways, herbal ways to boost your appetite, and it's crucial. So I've seen the benefits of it. And if dealing with grief and anxiety and recovery, whatever else, and just literal pain, literal physical or emotional pain, if that's something that can help anyone, let alone a U.S. athlete, what are we doing here?
And Randy, that's where I want to stick coming up next, because what you just described, there was growth, right? Like, it was learning. Yeah. It was the way we used to think about things versus the way that you saw over time. Man, this changed. Man, we've learned more about this situation. And so we'll get to this coming up next. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. Because as callous as this sounds, we all feel like badly for Sha'Carri Richardson here, like, but she's handled this as well as you possibly can. The arguments that are going on right now are not about Sha'Carri Richardson here. I will tell you what they're really about next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
How happy are you right now?
Trying to keep my composure, man. Taylor Swift features on the new Big Red Machine album. Nature truly is healing. Just a content factory, these people, I tell you. The gift that keeps on giving in the times when we need it most.
I had no idea it was out. I thought it was just like a teaser today on Twitter. Like,
oh, yeah.
I just saw like a 20-second clip. I was like, all right, she's back at it.
They knew we needed this. They knew right now we needed this. Janae Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Randy Scott here. Got some news coming out of college football that we've got to get to, both old and new. Some really interesting headlines from college football that we want to get to with you guys here. But we've been talking so much about Sha'Carri Richardson today, the U.S. track and field athlete now suspended for a positive marijuana test. And Randy, the more I've seen people angry online, conversations I've had with people off air, it seems to be less anything about Sha'Carri Richardson, who by all accounts has handled herself with unbelievable grace in the middle of this, has asked for no sorries, has asked for no handouts, has said, I'm going to focus on me in this. And if not, I know I'm 21 and I have lots of chances after this. So she's handling her business. This seems to be as generational a conversation as there is, really on two fronts. One is how people are still coping with their views on marijuana, because the crux of this hangs on the USADA, the World Anti-Doping Agency, essentially saying that marijuana is a performance enhancer, and how we base those things, comparing it to things like opioids, all the things that we use as athletes that we put in our bodies in an effort to be ready for play, that are far more harmful from what we've seen. And I think the evidence that the World Anti-Doping Agency uses in their report is a little flimsy when you actually read through it here. Yeah. So it's part of that conversation. But I think it's also just there's a generation where the rules were the rules and you didn't question them and followed them. And so now we see this pop up all over the place. But I come from a generation where we're tailored to ask, why am I doing this? What's the utility of this?
Yeah.
And is it worth changing in that? And I think there's at times a friction to, listen, why can't you just do it the way that we did for so long?
I know that it really is an interesting sticking point for a lot of people. And I don't even know that it knows age, because we've seen some things today from colleagues in sports media that are, of contemporary age, and where they're like, no, and it puts something out there that I swear reads like a look at me zag sort of take.
Yeah.
And I question the validity until you see a double down later and you're like, oh no, you actually believe that.
And I don't.
This is a problem.
I would say, okay. I don't question people believing what they believe about this, but I just think it comes from that place of, all right, well, I know I've been able to do this. I mean, hell, I experienced this as an athlete where I was never the most talented guy, but I said, all right, I can come in and outwork the talented guy if he's going to slip up in here. Yeah. I know I'm going to handle my business in that way, and so if I can do it with all my lesser talents, why can't someone of ability do the same thing here? Yeah. And I think that's where it comes from is, man, people do the thing constantly in sports. If I had so-and-so's ability, I would never be put in this situation, and I think there's some of that projection that goes on here.
I think what I understand from an Olympic level, an IOC level, WADA, USADA, whatever it is, but globally you want a level of a playing field as possible, which is a farce. There are more resources in certain countries for training facilities and nutrition and whatever else. But the things that the IOC feels like it can control are testing levels, thresholds, trace amounts, whatever else. They're able to dictate that. That is entirely within their purview. Fine. If Sha'Carri Richardson ran afoul of that, under the literal rule and letter of that rule, fine. She knew the rule. She's paying the consequences. She's not ducking it by any means. She deserves a lot of credit for that. The rule needs to change. By the own standard that USADA has put out, which is in conjunction with the World Anti-Doping Agency, of the three things. So a substance is banned, and I believe they're classifying marijuana as a cannabinoid. So it has to check two of the three boxes, right?
Two of the three boxes.
Do you have that in front of you?
So there are three categories it has to meet. It's got to be harmful to the athlete. It's got to be a performance enhancer. And it has to violate the spirit of competition, essentially.
Which is so subjective.
Well, and which
there's so much gray area.
I mean, good God almighty. Hearing the spirit of competition and these values thrown in the face of a process surrounding the Olympics that usually guts countries that host the Olympics, that's wrought with fraud and some of the worst impropriety that we've seen in sports, is a farce in and of itself. But there are two other categories here that this in theory checks.
So harmful to the athlete. Literally in the state of Oregon, where the U.S. trials are run, marijuana possession and recreational use is legal. It is legal to do that. I don't know where Sha'Carri Richardson took her test. My assumption would be it was in the state of Oregon. So where she did that, she was legal under the letter of the law in the state of Oregon, but not with the USADA. So the USADA has a different definition of what's harmful to a human being than the state of Oregon. That's what we're meant to believe. Fine. Okay. Then the second box of it being a performance enhancer. I've never played it any sport at a high level. I can't speak to this. I've never done marijuana.
I've never done a pot before.
I sound like Buscemi. Hello, fellow kids. But I've never done that, so I can't speak to it. But my argument would be maybe in recovery, maybe it helps with pain management. But she's come out and said this was for emotional trauma more than anything else.
And you know what? I understand the recovery because so often people misconstrue performance enhancers and think it is only bigger, stronger. No, it's you never feel tired. You come back and you recover so quickly. Okay. That's the real, I think, silver lining to a lot of those things when you talk about PEDs. But I would still look at this and just say what you brought up there, logical inconsistency. We've deemed it okay here and one in this spot. At the very least, if you don't want to say it's reason for a full-blown overhaul, it's probably a good enough reason for a conversation about the veracity of this rule, right?
Yeah.
Hey, we've deemed it in so many of these places something that's healthier than these other alternatives in sports. We're looking at it for treatment in cancer patients. We're looking at it as alternative healing for athletes instead of using opioids, which we have found, these synthetic man-created things, to be very harmful in certain spots. Yeah. We can, at the very least, look at this. I mean, God, you read the published paper that they draw from, which is from 2011, that talks about so much of the evidence of it being harmful or it being a performance enhancer as anecdotal, as interviewing people, as a hotline for people who have been involved in this doping process that are saying, yeah, when I smoke this, it helps me focus a little bit more. Like, using that as the basis for policy here, maybe as a small part. But again, as you read through this, it just all feels like, all right, we had one view on this then. We had one view on the way things were. At the very least, let's use this moment where, unfortunately, a young woman's going to lose out on an opportunity to be great on a big stage in a way that we all wanted to see. She's acknowledged that. She owns her part in that process. Now, at the very least, we can probably look at that process and say, all right, is there a way to do this better that's more in line with what we think about this now? But again, so much of it still feels like a generational fight, and because of that, not wanting to cede ground on this thing because it feels like a loss of identity.
A loss of identity and a loss of... I think what's familiar and comfortable with that generation of fan, honestly.
Yeah.
It's like, this is, like you said, this is the way it was for me, so therefore it has to be that way for everyone else.
And I thought the bridge, the gap between these things would be the accountability that she showed, that this could be, all right, this thing can exist at the same time that this can be possible. Change with accountability, mm-hmm. But we see that that's still going to be a struggle at certain times along the way with this. We are brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Coming up next, we will get to the news out of college sports, both old and new, that signals just how much change we saw go into play yesterday on July 1st. We'll get to that after this word from Rumble On. Now, do you have a motorcycle, ATV, even a truck that's just sitting in the garage that you've been waiting to sell? With RumbleOn.com, you can easily turn your unused vehicle into cash in minutes. RumbleOn.com is going to give you a cash offer for your vehicle and pick it up for free, anytime, anywhere. They can even finance your next Harley, Polaris, Can-Am, Yamaha, even more if you're just looking to upgrade. See what RumbleOn.com can do for you by visiting RumbleOn.com. Fast bikes, faster cash. Reggie's Heisman? College kids signing with agents? It's all happening next on ESPN Radio.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Let's go.
If you can't feel alive heading into the holiday weekend here with the 4th of July coming up this weekend, when Party in the USA inevitably gets played at your cookout, at the beach, on the car ride there, I don't know how well we're going to get along, Randy.
We're not. Well, I could tell you how well. Not well.
No.
We're not getting along. You're at a different cookout than me. That's how poorly we're getting along.
Well, you know what? Thankfully, here on Jhené and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, Mike Golic Jr., Randy Scott, we get along just fine because we both love that song.
So true. I had not a hand in picking the playlist, but I was in there hearing Cam sort of like run through what he was thinking. I was just like, this is gonna be a safe space.
From the moment that we've heard 1,000 Miles by Vanessa Carlton misfired on this show, the Guilty Pleasure Friday around here has been through the roof here.
Heading into a weekend that's going to be full of it. Like,
yeah.
This is going to be a weekend of like second and third plates. This is going to be a weekend of like, I'm going to finish off the macaroni salad. Like, I'm going to finish off the mac and cheese. Like, I'm not going to have the filter that I usually have, the guilt of like, well, did everybody get a chance? Like, no, if it's out there, it's out there.
I can say, the bear's hungry. It's got to eat. Like, I'm sorry. This is like, Randy, when I go to the movie theater, when they put the calorie count up there, I said that was a direct assault on me.
Oh, where do they do that?
Oh, God, at the movie theater in Plainville right over here? Oh,
that's a nice theater, though.
Yeah, it's a nice theater. They got good grubs there, but I look up and see the calorie count, and much like whatever function you're going to this weekend, I walk into certain situations going, I came here to sin. Like, I am here to do crimes against my body. I want to see if I can crack a rib from the inside out. I'm going to wear out this, you know, the line of this pants. So I don't need anyone making me feel bad about that. That's not what this weekend is for.
Yeah, you are. You couldn't be more right. I went to see a movie with my kids. Yeah, this past week, and I intentionally skip lunch, hold it, because I was like, I'm getting the movie theater popcorn, I'm getting the butter on it, that's going to be my dinner.
Randy's got
to
sin.
And how old am I?
Sin.
39.
And you know what? That is my prerogative.
That is my choice here.
Chenang Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. So, Randy, we said we've got college football news on two camps. So do you want the old or do you want the new first?
Old.
All right. Well, old. This is an argument that a lot of us have been making for years, because I always looked and said, in my lifetime of watching college sports, there has been no player that has captivated my attention like Reggie Bush. He's the best player I've seen with my own two eyes. Those early 2000s SC teams, even for a Notre Dame fan, even though they were beating us a lot in those times, defined that era of college football for me. And so we had this debate all the time about Reggie Bush and the Heisman that was taken away from him from the off the field, you know, taking of improper benefits that went on at Southern Cal. Field Yates, our ESPN NFL insider, tweeted out not too long ago that the Heisman Trophy Trust says that if the NCAA reinstates Reggie Bush's 2005 status, that it, quote, looks forward to welcoming him back to the Heisman family. So, Randy, we've talked so much about rules today. Where are you at on the idea of, all right, we've changed the way that we talk about monetizing around college athletes. Should we be able to go back and retroactively give Reggie this Heisman?
Yes. Yes is my short answer. Longer answer being Reggie forfeited the Heisman in an effort to spare USC. And instead, the hammer was dropped both ways. Reggie Bush's disassociation period, not only was he, you know, forced to vacate the Heisman and vacate any stat that he accumulated on the football field.
There were a lot of them.
He couldn't be around the program for 10 years. He had a 10-year disassociation period, and that's for a program that leans into L.A. lifestyle, L.A. faces.
Oh, brings its stars back, keeps them very close.
Will Ferrell went to more USC games over the last 10 years than Reggie Bush did, and that is now over, and he's not going to get that time back. Like, you can't right all of the wrongs, but this is a literal piece of metal. It's a wonderful trophy, a beautiful trophy, one of the best in sports, and it's such a quick and easy fix. And what I love is you could say it's the Heisman Trust sort of beginning the conversation or a step in the right direction. You could also say they're passing the buck, because they're putting it entirely now on the NCAA to say, yeah, Reggie, you're allowed to come home fully here.
I was going to say, you could be the ones to step up. Now, they're in a great spot, because no one's going to lose sleep over the Heisman putting the onus on the NCAA, the ultimate group of buck passers in here, the NCAA, who are used to putting this off on other people and saying, this falls on you here. I would like to see, and like, listen, I say this, and this isn't to brag, like I say this as a Heisman voter. I've been very fortunate to get to vote for the Heisman for the last 2 years.
How long have you, 2 years?
Like I say, so it's been for the last 2 years, I've been fortunate to vote for the Heisman. And so I have a lot of respect for the Heisman Trust, don't get me wrong, but this is a spot where it would be a great show to say, no, we're going to go back and say, what Reggie Bush forfeited the Heisman for had nothing to do with his on-the-field play.
Not a single thing.
There was no performance-enhancing element of this. This isn't like the conversation around what we've seen in track and field today. This is a cut-and-dry, hey, we didn't think these benefits were permissible then. They are now, but they never affected what happened between the white lines there. And quite frankly, with the Heisman Trust, you've got far more, you know, problematic members still holding Heisman trophies within your ranks than anything Reggie Bush did there. So this seems like an easy right, wrong to right.
You want to name names on that list? You want to go down that
road? Probably not right this second, Randy.
No. For Reggie, I applaud his his willingness to come out and put himself out there.
Yeah.
I'm kind of surprised. You know, we saw Jalen do it. Jalen Rose has said it about the Fab Five. And you talk about a team that could have been immensely marketable for their time period and for what they did to the sport. And that's not college basketball. That is NBA. And I say that as someone who had black Nike socks and baggy shorts. And that's about it. That's about all I had in common with the Fab Five. But I mean, there are wrongs that will take a long time and a lot of red tape and a lot of paperwork and a lot of working with a university or other organizational bodies.
And some that never will get righted, by the way. Some opportunities that are lost forever.
I'm not even saying they will. I'm just saying there are others that'll take a longer time to get done. This could be so quick, so right, and it could set a precedent, and it would allow the Heisman Trust, NCAA, it would allow them to be first.
Yes.
To be first on what is now the right side of history of NCAA amateur athletics.
Yep, exactly. You don't, as everyone's quickly learning, you're only so beholden to the NCAA, especially in the world of college football. Yeah. They come there to enforce, and that's really about it. So you don't have to listen to them, Heisman Trust, if you don't want to. Now, speaking of marketability, though,
yeah,
we do have news from current college football right now as well. We talked so much about the NIL stuff yesterday, and people's big question, my big question was how the agent process in this is going to work. Well, Pete Thamel over at Yahoo Sports tweeted out that sources are saying Alabama quarterback Bryce Young is signing with CAA Football to work with him on his NIL marketing. CAA, one of the bigger, more well-known agencies there. Mm-hmm. I mean, Nick Saban is a CAA client, and there's going to be all these tentacles like that about, you know, all right, you know, does this seem like a handshake agreement that could meet Bryce signs with them after he leaves when he decides to turn pro? Was there anything? We don't know any of that stuff, but Randy, my first and most immediate reaction to this was, okay, good, it's someone we know. Like in this process, there are so many. We see the big agencies all the time,
yeah,
you know, Athletes First, CAA, all these different ones. There are so many smaller agents out there, ones that aren't as well-versed in all of this, ones whose intentions I don't always trust. And so the fact that it's with three letters that we know and recognize and come with an understanding, that at least gives me peace of mind that as we venture into this unknown, one of the people making this choice is siding with a group that we've seen do right by others.
So mathematically, so CAA is a 10%. Usually, you know, it's a 10% agent process, right? That's their threshold. It's common in the industry. I don't know how that changes in athletics.
Athletics, it's usually down closer to 3%, and that number's even getting lower at times now because of the rookie wage scale.
Well, I wonder, okay, so the number, though, of these deals, the literal price tag on some of these deals is going up today. We got word, I mean, Master P's son, Hersey Miller at Tennessee State signed a 4-year deal with a web company. Not going to say the name because I don't want to botch it. But it's $2 million.
Yeah,
on
real
the price
money.
Tag. $2 million for Hersey Miller, which...
Incredible.
It's a tremendous...
As we talk about the first Jalen all the time around here, we might be dealing with the first Hersey.
So if that price tag is there for a Tennessee... All due respect to Tennessee State, but if that's there for an incoming Tennessee State basketball player, the quarterback at the football school of the South in Alabama... That price tag could be 10 times. Like, we don't know. It could be $20 million. So you do want someone who is reputable, who does have the experience with that deal, and maybe not a guy operating out of his, you know, out of his basement somewhere.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Not
dipping into it.
Exactly. So there was some solace in that for sure. So lots going on as we dip into day two of NIL in college sports. Now, has all the, quote, management stuff turned the dream of building your own law practice into a nightmare? Take charge with Lexicon Practice Management Software and Services. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection. Coming up next, though, let's keep the football train rolling because every fall, people look forward to Hard Knocks except for the ones on the team. We will tell you about the happiest man in professional sports next on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
For something in the distance, so close you can almost taste it. Release your inhibitions, feel the rain on your skin. No one else can feel it for you. Only you can let it in. No one else can feel the words on your lips, Randy.
Buddy, I hear this song and I see just punchable male faces from the hills. I see the entertainment industry's Phil Kessel. You know Phil Kessel, hockey player.
Yeah.
Spencer Pratt. Like, it's just,
they are
separated.
Yeah.
At one took the athletic route, one took
it's just, I was gonna say, twins with
TV.
Different abilities.
Yeah.
And
Spencer Pratt and I, I'm not trying to brag, we've tweeted back and forth about it. He's actually, I've softened my say. He's been nice enough to me on social media to where I'll give him a chance if we ever meet.
Randy Scott, yeah. Growth mindset.
Steven,
here.
Not so much. Not so much.
Chenan Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Tune into an interleague battle Sunday as the Yankees host the Mets, presented by Credit Karma. Coverage of Sunday Night Baseball begins at 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and 7 p.m. on ESPN. Guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline here, and we've got plenty more to get into. We know the big topic of the day has been Richardson, the track and field star from the USA, that is now serving a one-month suspension after a positive marijuana test. We'll get more into that coming up here shortly. But, Randy, there is, I'd imagine, no one in the world happier today than one Jerry Jones. With the announcement that came, our own Adam Schefter, ESPN NFL Insider, tweeted this morning that the Cowboys are expected to be selected to appear on this season's 5 episodes of HBO's Hard Knocks. An official announcement came later today, I believe, from the Cowboys' own Twitter account. Randy, as much as the Cowboys have always been this like wonderful traveling circus that we all want to look at, am I crazy for saying that this might be the least interesting year to jump in on Cowboys training camp that we've seen in a while?
Well, because, okay, yes, I think you're right, because you don't want a harmonious locker room.
No!
You want drama for your drama. You want drama for your cameras, and they're set at quarterback. They're set at running. They're set offensively.
But yeah, there's some defensive question marks
but there's no drama. Yeah, you're right. There's no drama.
I guess there will be drama. Like, listen, we'll get a ton of aerial shots of Jerry Jones' super yacht, and we'll get all these things. God willing, right?
Like, yeah.
I've been rich shamed by Magic Johnson on Twitter for the last week. I can take Jerry Jones now. By the way, Magic, next time you do a vacation, baby, call me, please. I'm ready. I want to go to Greece with you, too.
Oh,
but I look at this and say, what we're getting from the Green Bay Packers this year is what we had in Dallas for the last two. And if we could have just gotten Hard Knocks for one of those seasons, it would have been that. But instead, we're going to get this a little too late, like the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight, where, yes, we're all going to tune in because it's Jerry Jones, and I'm sure he's going to Bogart screen time, and we'll hear probably some remnants of that contract negotiation with Dak, but it's not what it could have been.
So if you had to pick, I mean, I hate to do this to you, but if there's any consolation, I've given it very little thought myself. If you had to pick a team from a dramatic angle, right, looking just for conflict and good television, we both agree it's not Dallas. They're too harmonious.
Yep.
Okay. If you had to pick one of the other 31 NFL franchises, who would you go with?
Well, are we going to do this by the Hard Knocks principle where they got to be a team that didn't make the postseason? I know there's the rules about how recently they could have made the postseason. If you're going to give me anyone, it's overwhelmingly Green Bay.
Okay.
Like, overwhelmingly. I want a camera just on Jordan Love for the entire time. Like, Jordan, no matter what else is on the screen, it's just him over there doing footwork drills off to the side. Because that's been the dominant storyline of the offseason. Yeah. It's been the dominant storyline of now, as I think we're up against the deadline today where players can opt out for COVID-19 reasons for this upcoming season. We don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to do that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you get what I mean. Is there a team that jumps out to you besides them?
Understanding, I gave very little thought to it either. It would either be Buffalo,
ooh,
or Jacksonville.
Oh, I didn't think about Jacksonville. You've already got Urban Meyer getting fined down there,
exactly.
The Tebow thing.
The Tebow angle of it, Trevor Lawrence being there. Like, I want to peel some layers back on the robot, the married robot that is Trevor Lawrence. You know, married life or following Trevor around while they're using wedding gifts for the first time. You know, like some at-home stuff with he and his wife.
I was going to say, did he get one of those nice KitchenAid mixers there? Is his the copper one? Costs a little extra, but what's a few extra dollars amongst the million-dollar draft
pick? Just a lot of schmoopy talk about salad spinners and everything else. But in Buffalo, like vaccination debates with Josh Allen and Mitchell Trubisky in that quarterback room.
I feel like
that'd be entertaining.
I would say Mitchell will come out and endear himself to a nation with a pro-vaccine take and all of this here. It'll be crazy stuff there. All right, coming up next, we will get back to the dominant conversation of the day, rules, and if they are truly made to be broken, next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Chenan and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.